Friends, this morning I need you to use your imagination. You ready? I invite you to imagine that you are part of that crowd assembled with Jesus as he made his entrance into Jerusalem. It was a tumultuous time. There were, people shouting and singing and waving branches and spreading out clothes in the roadway. Very dramatic moment. And I want you to imagine that you're there in the midst of it as an observer. You're part of the crowd. But, of course, you have to decide what part of the crowd you came with. Because the crowd's sort of complex. You see, there are those who weren't coming into the city, but had come out from the city to greet these pilgrims who were arriving for Passover. They had come out, perhaps expecting to meet relatives and friends, or just because it was a season of celebration, and they wanted to be part of it once again, as they had on times before. Of course, salted in the crowd, there were some Pharisees who were kind of like the local security at an event, keeping their eye on things. They weren't particularly shouting or singing. They were watching, observing, doing everything but taking notes. And of course, there were the incoming pilgrims for Passover, of whom Jesus was one. And there was a crowd with him. Of course, some of those were just other people making their way toward Jerusalem for Passover. But there was a group that was there primarily because Jesus was there at that time. And that included people from Galilee who were his disciples and who had followed his ministry and were there as supportive friends, neighbors, and family. And they were there to see Jesus making a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But there was, or at least had been, some foreboding in the air because it was felt that for Jesus to go to Jerusalem at this time was to put himself at risk. And they weren't quite sure what to expect. And then there was another group, also supportive of Jesus, but these were newer followers. People from the area, not far away from Jerusalem, from Bethany, where Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And they were there because they had seen events that amazed them, and they were there to be with this one who had so impressed them with his power and his teaching. And there you are in the crowd. Now, I'm assuming you're not a Pharisee. So you were probably one of those who came because Jesus was there. Either because your roots were long-standing ones with him in Galilee and throughout his ministry, or because recently you had become impressed with him because of the events in Bethany. And Passover was the biggest festival season of the whole year. And the city of Jerusalem was gearing up for the celebration. Now, how do you feel? You're in this crowd. There seems to be adulation and tumult everywhere. There's a sense of excitement. There's a sense of celebration. And, you know, if you were a follower of Jesus, you might be thinking, well, he's getting a good reception. Maybe everything's going to be okay. You know, maybe these uncertainties about what will happen to him weren't really that threatening. Although surely his disciples, who had heard his most specific declarations about the events that were to follow, found it a little harder to shake off their apprehension. But there was a spirit of jubilation and celebration that was very difficult to avoid being drawn into. And you might be thinking, you know, this is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah coming to Jerusalem. This is it. This is the victory we were anticipating. This is the moment at which the tide turns and the crowds rise up to embrace him. Because, you see, the hope of victory is so sweet and desired. But look around more closely. Those Pharisees, they're not just watching everybody. They seem to have a particular interest in Jesus. In fact, if you'd been close enough, you might have heard a conversation that Jesus had with the Pharisees. Because we're told that some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And Jesus simply answered them, "I tell you, if these people were silent, the stones would shout out." And if you followed closely, and if you were observant and not distracted by all the turmoil around you, you might have noticed that at a point as Jesus made that trip down across the valley into Jerusalem, that there was a moment when he looked up at Jerusalem and began to weep. Here in the midst of a celebrating crowd, the focal person is crying. And as the record makes clear, Jesus was not crying for himself or out of anxiety about the events that he knew were soon to follow. But he wept because of his grief for the spiritual state Jerusalem. Let me read you just a couple of verses from Luke chapter 19. As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." Jesus weeping because he knew that the city of Jerusalem and its people were not all embracing him and celebrating his arrival. It was mostly Passover fervor with a smaller group of those who really understood the significance of Christ's arrival. And if you'd been close, you might have heard. And if you had persisted and followed Jesus into the city and hung around in the fringes of the crowd that gathered around him wherever he went, you might have seen and heard even more ominous things. Luke tells us that every day he was teaching in the temple, and the chief priests and the scribes and the leaders of the people kept looking for a way to kill him. But they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were spellbound by what they heard. And even Mark, later in his account, adds this comment from the next day. "And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching." It was a momentous time. If you, in your imagination, can pick up even a little bit of the flavor of those events, you get a sense of how complex things were. On the one hand, there was joy and celebration because here was the Lord coming into Jerusalem. But the signs around on almost every side were ominous ones. And if you had an eye to catch the nuances of things, you realize that it wasn't all joyful celebration. Oh yes, there were people there who were truly and genuinely celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was much more complex than that. And this small moment in time in the life of our Lord leads us, you see, into events that are to unfold relentlessly in the coming week. Because because what we know now. And you wouldn't have known, were you part of the crowd, was that within 1 week, Jesus would be arrested, charged, convicted, and executed all within a 24-hour period. That's what was ahead. However, of course, that's not all of the story. For the story of our Lord doesn't end when they took his body off the cross and put it in a tomb. The story lives on and continues even now. For the Lord who was crucified is risen, ascended, and interceding at the right hand of the Father, right this moment, on behalf of his people. So ponder these things next week as we celebrate the triumph of the resurrection. We need to do so remembering the things that preceded it, and to understand the whole picture. And so, aspects of this story and aspects of the events that unfold in the coming days in Jesus' life are overwhelmingly terrible. There is, as the story ends, triumph and good news. The story doesn't stop here. And may your understanding of it not stop here, but continue to the final triumph. And you see, in the final triumph, all the cries of jubilation when Jesus approached Jerusalem were in fact fulfilled. Friends, think on these things in the days ahead and carry them with you always. For this is your good news. Thanks be to God.